السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we discuss a few aspects with regards to the forbearance, the tolerance of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. So forbearance, tolerance, what this actually means is a person abstains from enforcing what is due to him. He abstains from enforcing what is due to him. A person who is forbearing, he is a person who is tolerant, is patient, moderate in his affairs, and is always very, very lenient. Always very, very lenient. But obviously, this is when the matters are relating to himself personally. Somebody is harming him personally. Somebody is usurping his personal right. Then he behaves in this manner. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his entire life, he never ever took revenge upon anyone who harmed him in any way personally. In his entire life, he never reacted to somebody who has harmed him personally. Yes, when the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were broken, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would react. In a situation of jihad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was active. But under normal circumstances, for personal reasons, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever took revenge. Whether it was in the days of Makkah Sharif, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't have much support in the human form around him, or whether it was in the glory days of Fateh Makkah, whether it was in Medina Sharif when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had so much of support, in any situation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam never took revenge for his own personal reasons. So to understand this tolerance levels of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not very long ago in the Jummah Bayan, we had spoken about a few examples. So some of those examples would be repeated tonight. One was the example of a Jewish lady. This lady, she would litter the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would put thorns, sharp stones, dirt. She knew now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to walk here now. She'll throw the garbage down there and cause taklif to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking there, nobody throwing any garbage, nobody is thrown any thorns etc. on the road. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to find out. Our halat is like this, that somebody who is our close friend also, if he is missing 1-2 days, doesn't really tickle us. What happened to this person? Is he sick? What happened to him? Only if he's really close to us, then now we'll find out, hey, what happened. Now look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This woman was causing him taklif. Now the taklif stopped. The taklif is not there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds out, what happened? That lady used to throw all the dirt here. What happened to her? So he was informed that she is very, very sick. She's in her final stages, her last stages. She's very sick. Now if it was one of us, we would have said, yeah, she didn't understand my maqam. She's putting dirt and all that in my path. See what Allah Pak did to her now. We would have spoken like that. But look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes to visit her. He actually goes to visit her. Initially when he goes there, this woman is a bit afraid. That like, now have they come to insult me, make fun of me, harm me in some way. But after that she realizes that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come solely to visit her, to ask with regards to her well-being, is there any khidmat we can make of you? Now what tolerance, what level of tolerance? Then I mentioned in the Jummah Bayan with regards to Abu Jahl, that leave all the other things that he did, so many things he did to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave all those things, but that one time when he digs that hole and he feigns sickness, because he knows that if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to know certain person is sick, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to visit. So he feigns sickness and he puts his charpai outside and he digs a hole there, and he covers the hole with a chatai, a straw mat. And his whole plan was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to walk, come there to the bed, and as he steps onto the chatai, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall into that hole and he would get hurt, he will harm himself. So this was his whole plot. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking towards him. Jibreel alayhi salam comes and informs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what this person was doing, you know, what his plan was. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't say anything to him. He just turns around and he begins walking back. And now look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the zillat of Abu Jahl, that he himself got that hole dug there, but he gets so frustrated that his plan is, you know, his plan is failing, it's not working out, that he jumps out of that bed not realizing, and he steps onto that mat and he falls down. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That they plan and Allah plans. Allah is the best of planner. So when he falls down into that hole, this is something really, if you think about this, you just cannot understand Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what level of tahammul, what level of compassion, that he actually turns around and he comes to assist Abu Jahl to take him out of that hole, comes and helps him. This is really something, you know. Then if we have to take the incident of Hudaybiyah, when the treaty was being signed at Hudaybiyah, so these people who came to sign the treaty, the way they were cheeking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't want to write Allah's name properly, they didn't want to write Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name properly. Whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is requesting, they are not prepared to give in. Everything must be done their way, how they want it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives in to everything. He gives in to everything. So much so that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he becomes so upset. And he goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, but Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aren't we on haq? So why must we subject ourselves to this type of humiliation? It has that Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was the scribe, when they asked him to only write Muhammad bin Abdullah, that he mustn't write Muhammad, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he couldn't write that. He couldn't write it. There's no way, I can't do that. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they were really deeply affected by the behavior of the Quraysh. That we haven't come to trouble you all, we haven't come to do anything. We have come here solely to make tawaf of Baytullah. That's all. And we're going back. You don't want to allow us to go and make tawaf of Baytullah. We're right here. You don't want to allow us to make tawaf of Baytullah. So okay, you don't want to allow us. At least talk with respect. Talk with some dignity. Speak nicely. We're not harming you. We're not doing anything to you. We're not fighting with you. But their cheek, you know, the haughtiness, the arrogance. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forbearing. He is tolerant. He doesn't react in any way. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, later on he says that I seen those very same people, those very same people who were acting so cheeky and so haughty, I seen those very people on the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, when the barber of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shaving his Mubarak hair. These same people were standing around Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not allowing for one hair to fall on the ground. This was the fruit of that forbearance, that tolerance. This was then the fruit. Then if we have to look, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into Makkah Sharif, Fateh Makkah has taken place. Prior to this, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came there to Kaaba Sharif, the Quraysh, they said, we will only allow you to stay here for 3 days. After 3 days you must go. Now on the way coming to Makkah Sharif, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made nikah to Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, the ajeeb thing about her life is the spot where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made nikah with her. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a state of ihram. She was also in ihram. They made nikah. But obviously if you are in a state of ihram, you cannot consummate the nikah. But they made nikah in the state of ihram. On the way back, now when they're out of ihram, on the way back, on the very same place was the first time that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent a night with Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala. And it was on that same spot that she passed away. Years later she passed away on that same place, and she is buried there on that same place. When you are entering into Makkah Sharif on that main road there, just before you come into Makkah Sharif proper itself, you will see Ma Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala's qabr is there on the side of the road. So that was the same spot where her nikah took place, same spot where she spent her first night in her life with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she passed away also here. On that same spot she is buried also there. So Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made nikah to her. Now when they finished all the rites now and they came out of ihram, so Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he requested the Quraysh. He said, look, like I have made nikah, we will have a walima. Come and join us also for the walima. Look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is inviting for the walima? The same people who are troubling him. Today, the agent must, just one, two things the agent never live up to. People are prepared to fight. They don't want to see that agent or anything. Here, these people, who they are stopping? The Nabi of Allah. That only 3 days you can stay here and then you must go. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inviting them for walima. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends the invitation, they throw the invitation of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam back in his face. Say, we don't need your walima. You pack up and move, take your people and go. This is the treatment that they give to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, Hajjatul Wida, Fateh Makkah, not Hajjatul Wida, Fateh Makkah, conquest of Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks for the key of the Kaaba. He takes the key from the person who was in charge of the key of the Kaaba Sharif. Open the Kaaba Sharif, all those idols, everything is cleaned out, everything. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam reads namaz in the Kaaba Sharif. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is finished, he calls the same person. The same person, he calls him back and he gives him back the key in his hand. And he says, nobody must take the key from him. The same people who were stopping him, cheeking him, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls the same person again. He gives him back the key. And he gives announcement, nobody must take the key from them. They are in charge of the key. Then if you have to look at Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, in the battle of Badr, Abu Jahl was the leader of the Quraysh, right? But he was killed in the battle of Badr. Many of the leaders of the Quraysh were killed, but Abu Sufyan got away because he was with the caravan, so he got away. After battle of Badr, every battle that took place between the Muslims and the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan led the Quraysh against the Muslims. He was the leader of the Quraysh. All the battles after that, all the harm that came to the Muslims after that, he was the leader of the Quraysh. When Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes for Fateh Makkah,